have anywhere else that's better to be than right here. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's cold outside. It's snowy outside. And all you do is go home and take a nap. Eat and take a nap. How about that? Yeah, first. But now today, God's got some food for you that I all of us need. Some of you already know it, but sometimes it helps us to be reminded. But open your Bibles with me. Go to Proverbs chapter 14 and let's look at verse 12. Chapter 14, verse 12 of Proverbs. It says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There is a way that seemeth right to a man. I'm seeing more and more and more people that are in their supposedly Christian walk are doing what they seem is right to them. What they feel is right to them. I was watching a video where, you know, one of the prominent Christian band leaders was talking. He was being interviewed by a homosexual Christian, and he was talking about, yes, I did say that, homosexual Christian. Personally, can I just tell you, you can't practice homosexuality and be a child of God, because sin and God don't go together. Now, God loves the person, but He hates the sin. It's an abomination to Him, the Word of God says. But see, here's the thing. The prominent singer says this to this person. He said, "I've come to believe," and see, notice, "I've come to believe that it's not as much about what the Bible says as how we treat people." You see, that seems right, okay, if you don't know that the Bible is the authoritative Word of God and you're just living the Christian life on the surface, that seems right. God does care about people and we should treat people right. I don't care what their sin is, you still got to treat them right. I love homosexuals. I love them all, but I hate what they do. I hate the sin. And see, that's, folks, you know, they're trying to say that's hate speech. Well, you know, if the Bible says it's sin, it's sin. But you see, what they're doing, he said, it's not as much about what... In other words, what he was saying is this, I don't go by the Bible, I go by how I feel. And there's a lot of that going on right now. I'm friends with a particular person, and that's kind of what the way he lives his life. And people will get on there, he'll make some kind of big comment, I want to get on there and correct him, but there's no use to, because the Bible says, don't cast your pearl before the swine. But all kinds of people will join in. Yes, that's what I believe. I've believed that for years. That's what, and it's always that the church is too strict, and God is more about loving people than rules and regulations. Can I tell you something? God is a God of order, and there is only one way to get to heaven, and that's through and by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Okay, how do I know that? That's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. You see, but there's so many people that want to live their Christianity by what they feel versus what the Word of God says. Well, you can feel all you want to, but that's not what the Word is. Feelings, matter of fact, feelings will mess you up. That's part of your soulish area there. You deal with your soulish area, man. Your mind, your will, and emotions, you'll be messed up. See, it's your spirit man that's the Lord of your life. You're a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. Your spirit man is what got recreated and made new. He's the one that determines what you do and what you say and all that. You see, it comes through him, and he's going to go directly with the Word of God because the Holy Spirit's living in him. And so, now God can change his mind about situations and circumstances. And so, what he's talking about, I'll give you a prophet came to come to the house in order to you want your bride, you want home. Isaiah turned around, he's going to God's will, Lord, against him. And cried out, I told you, everything told me to hold on. God here, God talking about Isaiah, he says, go back here and tell him I'll give you 3 years. Tell me. See, that was a change in what God said, but understand it's conditional. There are certain words that are unchanged, how it's received.
But
I feel like somebody kind of needs this. Because here's the thing. God could give me a word for you and I could prophesy that word to you. And you would say, oh, that's from God. But if you don't accept it and do what it says, then it will never come to pass for you. It doesn't mean I was a false prophet. It meant you didn't do what the word of the Lord said. Isaiah was not a false prophet when he prophesied that. He prophesied what God said. But the situation changed. The circumstance changed. So Isaiah came back in and told him what the Lord said again. Somebody can prophesy a good thing to you, but if you live your life like a devil, that's not coming to pass. Amen. So you have to position yourself to that place to where that word can come to pass in your life. So when we start thinking about all these things, when people try to just say they're going to do what they want to do, it'll never go outside the Word of God. God will not bless outside of His Word. I'm going to show that to you here just in a minute. But he says, there's the way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let me give that to you in the New Living, or I guess the Message of what I got it in. It says, there's a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again, it leads straight to hell. A way of life that seems harmless enough. See, in our eyes sometimes we say things like, well, you know, I believe if I'm a good person, I don't cuss, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do nobody no harm, I leave everybody alone, I keep to myself, I know there's a God and I love God and I think I'm going to be all right. Well, that way seems harmless enough, but it's not what the Word says. It's not what the way says. The way says you must be born again. No matter how good a person you are, you must be born again. What's that mean? That means that every one of us were born with this sin nature within us because of Adam and Eve, of what they did in the garden and sin entering to the earth. When you're born into this earth, you're born with the sin nature. Nobody teaches you how to sin. Think about it. Little children lie. Where'd they learn that from? Some of you thinking their parents. No. No, little kids will learn how to lie on their own. Right? You know, you can go to them, do you do that? Nope. They're the only one in the room, you know. I used to do that to Stephanie all the time, you know. Pastor Reddy comes, she'd say, who did this or whatever? I said, must have been Stephanie. I could throw it that way. Now I say it must have been Lillian, you know. So I'm still got a scapegoat right now for a little while anyway. But no, really. See, you've got to understand, you have that nature. I've told this story before, and because it was one of my earliest memories, probably about the Lord, I wouldn't do it wrong. I knew it wrong. No, I talked about it. No, I talked about it. It was in my mind. That it, no, it's okay. But see, God does see that. But sin nature we're born with. And the way you get rid of sin nature is by going to, if you want to report sin, you could go to him who knows sin, in the Lord's field, Jesus. Ask him if you're going the right way. I don't care if you're going the right way. It's right enough. The way to death, the wrong way to hell. It's still not the right way. And so we have to be careful and thoughts. You might be paid outside of your life is based upon. We wouldn't know how to live if it weren't for the Word of God. We couldn't live as children of God without the Word of God. Let me show you something over here in Psalms 37. It's a familiar scripture, but this helps us along with what we're saying. Psalms 37. Look at verse 23. The steps of the man, he said, the steps of the man, ordered of the Lord, and the Lord upholds from his hand. I have been for sea begging bread. He is merciful. Now notice it. The steps of the man are ordered of the Lord. Your steps are ordered of the Lord. In other words, God has a way. He has a way for you. Notice that's ordered of God. And if you mess up, if it's up, God right there, says God has ordered you. Now he's right there with you when he goes. Things which you need to hold up. Yeah, right for you, this is right around you. Right for life, that you and your seed may live. See, by you taking the path that God has ordered for you, what you're doing is setting a path for your children, for your seed to be able to follow so that they can be blessed. God wants us to have from generation to generation, but God bless you, and you sure know the hell. Children, and your grandchildren, and all of them will have you want to live in their families. God is all about family, and you want all of them to be full. Now, just give you a little example, surround here. In Proverbs 13, right? Okay, that represents the presence of God. They took the ark, they had the ark, and they cart, and they were cursed. Gold covered some so that they could remember. Well, we don't ever want to do that again. Let's not do that no more. So they just put it on a new cart, hit an ox on the butt and said, get out of here. Go wherever you want to. Just get away from us. Well, the cart ended up down around Obed-Edom, and he took it in. But see, he was a child of God. He was an Israelite. When the cart came in there, the ark of God came in there, they started getting blessed. See, now it's in the right place. It's in order. The Philistines, it didn't belong to them. It belonged to the children of God, the children of Israel. So the blessing is coming. David hears about the blessing and where it's at. David says, hey, you know the ark's supposed to be up here in Jerusalem. Let's go get it. So they go down there to get the ark, and they get down there. Man, they're so excited. They bring that thing out, and they've got it on that cart, and they've got the oxen pulling, and they're singing, they're dancing, they're bringing the presence of God home. I mean, you talk about how exciting that is. And all of a sudden, they come to a rocky place, and the cart rocks, and the ark almost falls off, and Uzzah puts his hand, just trying to keep it from falling, and he dies. Man, the party just stopped. I mean, David's tore up. It's all over. They stop right there. They don't try to bring it any farther. And so David comes home. He's disappointed. And you know, the thing about David was, since he was a man after God's own heart, is anytime David had a problem, the first thing he did was not call 911. The first thing David did was call upon the name of the Lord. He would go meditate. He would go talk to God. And he would go find out, God, where did we go wrong? What do we need to do? Man, that'd be a good thing for the church to do today, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Where have we went wrong? What do we need to do to get back on track and back in order? And so David calls up his leadership then over in chapter 15. And he says, listen, guys, when we went down after the ark before, the reason that we had a problem is because we didn't do things in due order. He said, there ought not be anybody carrying that ark except for the priest. See, they tried to do it the world's way, Philistine way. They had it on the cart like the Philistines did. The Philistines didn't know anything about God, but David did. But David just wants to get the ark back, so he just keeps it on the cart. He doesn't start thinking about, wait a minute, oh, that's not the way we carry the ark. God doesn't have His people carry the ark on a wooden cart pulled by an ox. He has staves placed through the rings, and that's what those rings are on the side of the ark for, so that the priests can bear it upon their shoulders. And if you study out, you find out that it was a ceremony when you started moving the ark. And what would happen was the priest would be carrying the ark, and the ark's going before, and they're praising and worshiping the Lord, and the priest would only take so many steps, and it'd stop. Take a praise break. Did you hear me? The presence of God's here. So they just go a little ways. They just stop and praise and worship and praise God, glorify God. Kind of like y'all doing this morning. And then the priest would walk a little bit more. And this time they walked that ark all the way into Jerusalem. And the Bible says that David danced mightily before the Lord. He said it was because we didn't do things in order. That's why that breach came upon us. That's why Uzzah died. Because we weren't in order. See, it matters that we do things in order. Come on. See, even in salvation, you've got to do things in order. You can't think you're going to go to heaven and not get saved. First order of business is give your life to Jesus. Right? First order of business is to repent. Give your life to the Lord. And once you do that, now you're on the right track for all the blessings to come.
Yes.
Amen. You're opening yourself up so God can bring the blessings according to the Word of God. When it comes to order, and I'm not going to take a long time, but just sit there with Ephesians chapter 14, find out that Paul is there, and besides, he's held right in the line up, but he doesn't say, how do you think? It will be out of order in the subject. Because I want everybody to say, you know, I'm not the author of the humanity. In order. You know, sometimes it's Christian. You understand? You know, for example, I'm up for ministry, I'm up for ministry, I'm up for ministry. Well, because God has got order, they have all the reasons going on, but it's not when the end is gone through, God's doing it. He has got order, and He wants to make sure that as long as He's in order, to keep your life in order with the Word of God, everything that God has to do, you want it. Notice I said, if you want it. Because a lot of folks they're not desiring. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Earnestly desire the best gifts. See, a lot of these things are not taught at a lot of churches, and so there's a lot of craziness goes on. But God doesn't like the craziness. God's got a war.
Even in our 6 years old, and on nine of the people, they have a whole summer of taxes. You talk about noise, and all this mess up. You know, you don't go nowhere. Come on. Amen. So as you do a bit of it, you can't always give it somebody. There's no family. Church, the offerings depend. Now you often have us, as pastors, the victims often tie themselves to the church. All that the money is here to their schools. And, you know, y'all know the way home typically they take money. You know, and so I think you just put the money, you've always just not getting that. Because I know things I've been there. So I had to come to church and everybody came to that kid. It's crazy. And some kid never got blessed. But we're going to do our stuff in order where other people do or not. Amen.
So everything that we do has to be done in order from the books right on up into the Spirit.
Because it's God's house. And God's house. So that's how we do it in order. But everyone else is responsible for ourselves. Make sure the first thing you're thinking about churches is this. Whoever you are there, whatever you do, you're responsible. And it always comes back to where the last way people are there. This, that we are to keep things in order. You do not have to do with us. Hang over there. Come on. You know, a lot of people just listen to me because I want to say him. Not because you're driving circles. Wall of the problem. Where you know that? Now you're on the problem, do you? Lord, you're not for me. Yeah.
No. You can do whatever you want to. No matter what the Bible says, you can live however you want to live your life. You can do whatever you want to. You can think however you want to. But I'm going to tell you something. Unless you're in order with the Word of God, you will not receive the blessing.
Amen.
You do whatever you want to, but unless you do what the Word says, you're not going to heaven. Come on, you can't live the way you want to. You must do what the Word says. And so God has called us to do what the Word says so that He can give us what the Word says. Inside you is the same power. Now you got, I know it just goes like that, but inside you is the very same power that was hovering over nothing when God said, "Let light be." And light became because of the power. The Holy Ghost was waiting for a commandment from God so that He could create. That same creative Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. That's the same Holy Ghost, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, quickens or makes alive our mortal bodies. He's living on the inside of us. So if you want that operating in you, you can't just do what you want to do. You have to do what the Word says. I must be born again if I want the Spirit of God to come and live in me. And then if I want to see a greater measure, if I want to see more of God's power operating in my life, I need to get baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. When I get filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to have the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Speaking in other tongues is nothing other than a prayer language to God. I don't believe in that speaking in tongues. Like I said, you can believe what you want to, but I can show it to you in the Word, and I believe the Word. Oh, but that was back for the early church. We are the early church. We've been there since the book of Acts. We're still that church. If they're writing books, they're still writing about us. It's not just the early church, it's for the church. And so we have to understand that. So if we want that operating in our life, then we've got to do what the Bible says to receive that. And of course, we make everything hard because we're just human. That's what we do, right? I mean, you know, I had no idea it was so easy to get saved. I've heard all my life, well, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And when I got saved, here's what I had to do. You know, you hear all these crazy, wild tales that people did. Yeah. They thought they had to do certain things. You cannot work your way into salvation. Yeah. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Now, everything else is added, okay? There ought to be quotation marks around it, right? Emphasis added. Because that's all you got to do to get saved is make Jesus Christ the Lord of life. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation, it says. Goes on to say. Well, it's the same thing when it gets to be with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just believe and receive. You want to get saved? Believe and receive. You want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? Have evidence of speaking other tongues? Believe and receive. Quit trying to figure it out in your head. He's a faith God. We're faith people. You receive everything by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We do it according to the Word. You see, it's not according to what man thinks or man's opinion and all that. You know, you go ask a lot of folks, a lot of churches don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, I belong to an organization that had it in their national rule book. That's why I left there. Because the Bible said it, and their book said it wasn't right. Now, I believe the Bible over their book. Come on. I believe the Bible over what men's opinions are about things. So you and I, we're going to do things in order so that the blessing can come and we can walk in that blessing. Okay? Now, let me show you. Well, but Pastor Mike, it's, you know, that's a hard thing. Well, that's not what the Bible says again. 1 John chapter 5. Go there with me. We'll close with this. I'll hurry. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begot, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not what? They're not grievous or burdensome. It's not hard, it's you that's hard. It's not difficult to get saved, it's you holding back. It's not difficult to get filled, it's you holding back. Come on, church. You see, God, it's not, if God says it, He's not a man that He can lie, so it has to be us. The reason that all of us are missing out on certain things in our life that the Bible says we can have, it's us. It's not God. He's not at fault. We are. We're not reaching out with faith and getting them. Right? Goes on and says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's us, right? Come on. Listen, here's the thing, folks. If we can't trust the Word of God to live our life by, okay? Let me ask you this. If we can't trust it to live our life by, how can we trust it to get us to heaven? If anything's a lie about living our life in here, then how do we know it's not a lie about us getting born again? How did I know how to get born again? From the Word of God. And that's the only way I know. How did I know to live my life? The Word of God. And that's the only way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. And that don't change. Forever settled in heaven. We just got to get lined up with it. Amen. Won't you stand to your feet with me? Let's pray.